Hey everyone, it's Chris. Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. This is the Good Report brought to you by Bonner Community Housing Agency. We're excited. We're going to have a great show today with John and Kathy Pomeroy. I think it'll be very enlightening for everybody about what they've been up to and to hear their story a little bit. Before we do that, I want to talk about some good things that are happening. Anybody go downtown, notice the fences are gone. The construction is on its final leg downtown. That is a good report. Seeing that construction getting done is great. With that, we know that the day after Thanksgiving is the biggest shopping day of the year. With that being said, go downtown. We have hometown holidays that is a program put on by the shopping district, I'll have a Facebook link in the description below. With that, there's Small Business Saturday on November 30th to really focus on local small businesses. We want you to enjoy that and be part of that. And on the 29th, Friday, from 5 to 6:30 p.m., there is a tree lighting at Jeff Jones Square. This is a great opportunity for everyone to come together, and there'll be hot drinks, snacks, soups from local restaurants, a dance performance, caroling, and Santa will be there. So with all of that being said, we want to just say, hey, why don't you look down in the description, click on the Facebook, get more information about that, some opportunities to shop local and to spend time together locally, and hopefully have a great time doing that. So that's a good report for today. Now with that, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Bonner Community Housing Agency, whose entire goal is to develop local housing, whatever that looks like. We've added supportive transitional housing, rental housing, as well as our regular home ownership program. We have two new units coming on the market here in the next few months. We ask that you check our website, stay up to date with that. If you're interested in buying a home, go to bonnerhousing.org and look at the home ownership section on the website, so you can see if you might qualify and get us a message there. So with that, we're going to dive into our episode today with John and Kathy Pomeroy from Helping Hands, Healing Hearts. All right. So, well, guys, welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. We're glad to have you with us, with John and Kathy Pomeroy. Now, I've known you guys for 10 years, roughly. Mm. You know, pushing 10 years when I started meeting you at the pastor's lunches.
Right.
Yep. And you had started work in ministry just briefly before me here in Sandpoint, right? When did you start?
Here almost 22 years.
Okay, 22 years. Yeah. So you've been here a while. Uh-huh. And there's a little bit of legacy that you carry. So I'd love to hear some more of your story. Kathy, you're so actively involved with what you guys do at Helping Hands, Healing Hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super excited to talk about what you guys are doing. And part of one of the goals here is to hear all the great things that are happening here and what are people doing to make this a better place. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been pretty instrumental in the last, how long, 4 years, 5 years?
Two and a half.
It feels like forever.
Okay, but it seems like you guys dove in both feet and are making a huge impact, so it's super exciting. So tell us a little bit about your story. I'll let you start, John.
Where do you want us to start?
You start at birth, you know? I mean, we have as much time as you want.
I was born in December 23rd, 1952 in Eureka, Montana.
Oh, that means Christmas is very special for you.
Very special.
Well, he was born in the Christmas tree capital of the world, Eureka, Montana.
Oh, anyway, wow. Long story short.
The Christmas
tree. I grew up in Montana. She grew up in Ohio. We met in Portland, Oregon in college, Warner Pacific College, and dated for 3.5 years while we were in college. Do we get to brag on here?
Yeah, sure. Feel free, man.
That the speaker for our graduation commencement was then President Gerald Ford.
Wow.
Yes. And so we shook hands with him the night we got our diplomas. The next night, We held hands on the exact same spot and exchanged vows, first wedding in that new chapel that was built for that occasion.
Yeah.
So it's a very holy, sacred spot.
Clearly, yes. Yes, that's great.
And
that's
then,
awesome.
I went off to a seminary in Anderson, Indiana.
Okay, and so you guys got married and then just, boom, you're out, right? Mm-hmm. Just moved from the Northwest to out to Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, Sidney, Ohio, 90 miles east of Anderson, we were working in a church there. And so there was a 90-mile commute on weekends and Wednesday nights. And she got her PhD degree, put hubby through.
Oh,
I taught school there in Anderson.
Okay, so what kind of school were you teaching?
Well, I taught at a vocational school, and I taught the GED, General Education Development for Adults. I also taught adult basic education. And then I was involved, actually it was a Anderson City-sponsored program to help people get their diplomas, high school diplomas, and then I taught adult basic education. Then I taught alternative school, too. I did all that there.
Wow. Awesome. How long were you guys in Anderson?
3.5 years.
That's a lot to do in 3.5 years, by the way. That's like, wow. So then you finish up seminary, and then where?
So then we went from there to back to my high school home in Kalispell, Montana.
Oh, okay.
Pastored there for 10.5 years. Felt the call to overseas missions. So
well, that town has changed.
Oh yeah.
Three
it's really
times
grown.
The size
I
it
mean,
was.
That's, yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a beautiful town. But
it
really
is.
Grown.
It is, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Sickening.
Oh, it's
yeah, I know.
It's just not the same place.
It's not the same place. That's true. Yeah. Especially when you go north.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's all, you know, all all the mall, you know, all the shopping centers and everything up there, yeah.
Kalispell and Whitefish and Columbia Falls are going to become one eventually.
It's sprawling out there.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a house there at the north end of town, and across there where all those malls are was all fields. In fact, we'd take our daughter to fly kites in those fields. Boy, no more.
Yeah. Well, and they've got a beautiful sports complex.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
And my wife's grandfather lived in Kalispell.
Ah.
And so we would go 2-3 times a year. We'd trek up to Kalispell and hang out with him. And he was in his 90s. And, you know, he got to meet Quinn. And, you know, and he passed away a few years ago. But, I just love that town. It's great.
Yeah.
So 10.5 years in Kalispell.
10.5 there. Mm-hmm. And then we felt the call to overseas missions. And we ended up in Cyprus, island in the Mediterranean, Barnabas and Paul. 6 years, we taught in a school there called the American Academy, Nicosia, the capital. And went initially on a 2-year commitment, but then we just, every year was another re-up.
Okay, how long, how many times did you re-up?
Well, 4 times then.
Okay.
After the initial 2 years.
Okay, so you were there for 10 years.
Six years.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
2 years initially, and plus 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So there for 6 years.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
In the beginning, it was really difficult because you know I don't know if I'd even been to like Canada, but so we were over halfway around the world. And when I got there, I had vertigo really bad, and I'd had a brain hemorrhage before we went, and so they thought it was all this, and I was in this hospital that was really old.
Looked and like a 100-year-old insane asylum from the U.S.
Wow.
Literally, seriously.
Yeah, wow. And we had a an old 1958 Morris Oxford for our vehicle where the doors would fly open when you went around the curves. And we had, I can just go on
we
and on
ended
and
up
on.
Pushing
it was
it more
very
than
difficult.
We rode in it. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Plus, we went in the middle of a 2.5-year drought.
Yes.
Oh, my.
So there were water restrictions. You could only do laundry from 11 to 1 in the morning when they were refilling the tank up above the apartment we lived in.
Yeah.
And we lived in this villa that had a mosquito infested garden.
Johnine got 200 plus bites on her body and
oh my gosh,
a
now
big
that's
sores.
Your daughter.
Yes.
Daughter. Yeah.
But so, after the first year, we just really fell in love with the place and the people. And okay. after that, yeah. it was very wonderful. It was a very yeah. wonderful experience. We are great. Very thankful we did that.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. That's
but it
great.
Was tough beginning.
Right. Yeah. And you've been in pastoral ministry most of your life then.
43 years, 43 as long years. As we've been married.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys get married and then it's the seminary. And you, so clearly there's been a sense in your world that this is what you were made for.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, definitely,
and
yeah.
And I think it's really hard for a lot of people to discover that.
Hmm.
You know, I think whether it's a divine encounter that tells you this is what you're called to do, and that sense or that feeling that you have that you know that this is what you're called to do, I think that's something everybody's a little hungry for. And it's hard to find that, you mm-hmm. know, I think to really, and I think, you know, from a Christian community perspective, that there's a lot of people that are waiting for that, mm. like somebody tell me what to do with my life yeah. type of moment. And so for 43 years to be, you know, fulfilling that, that's got to be a rich, fulfilling yeah, life.
Really is. And I don't want to jump ahead too much.
Well, you can go wherever you want.
Anyhow, yeah. You know, at your church, when I went through a difficult emotional, spiritual, physical time, you know, yeah. and I went to several different churches, including our own, I began to pray that, you know, because we're 65 and 60, he's going to be 67, but this was a few years ago, and I began to pray that in our last years that God, we would be more fruitful, that God would bless our ministry and that we would be more fruitful than all the other years together.
Come on.
And that's so
great. I love that.
And after that is when God opened the door for Helping Hands Healing Hearts. And I think that is the answer to that mm-hmm. dream. And I think I really believe the scripture in our lives that we were called for such a time as this,
okay.
for Helping Hands Healing Hearts okay. in this community.
Right.
You know, because we do serve a lot of people.
So let me ask, you say for such a time as this, what is it about this time that makes it unique? And if anybody's unfamiliar, that's a biblical reference to Queen
right.
Esther,
who's
trying to intercede on behalf of her country. The you know, Jewish race, to keep them from being exterminated.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's marries the king, and she kind of breaks all the rules, goes before mm-hmm. the king to ask for some things.
Right.
And to see an entire nation saved.
Yeah.
And so that's the context of mm-hmm. that for those watching that don't
yeah.
might not be familiar.
Well, I think Sandpoint, of course, is a very beautiful town. And, of course, we all know in 2012 it was voted the most beautiful town
yeah.
By mm-hmm. Rand McNally and USA Today in uh-huh. America.
Yeah.
Well, Sandpoint has another side that people, not everybody is, even people living in Sandpoint is not aware of. And so I just think that after that, there is a time that we need to become aware of that other side of Sandpoint and to help that other side and to help that other side move up and out,
right.
up and
yeah.
Not necessarily out of Sandpoint, but out of that other side. And
no, I think that's really important clarifier, because there's a population that would love to have none of that here.
I know.
I'm in agreement that I'd love to see everyone out of those things, but we love those people and we want the people here.
Yes, yes.
You know, I right. mean, whether it's addiction, poverty, some
uh-huh,
of those things
right.
that we're like, man, we'd love to see some big transformation right. in those areas, right? Yeah.
So my theme is, and I have said this often, you know, Sandpoint, the most beautiful small town in America, let's see it become the most compassionate small town in
yeah,
America.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm all about. Mm. And so
what does that look like to you? What is the outworking of compassion? When you think about being the most compassionate small town in America, what does that actually look like? Like, well, I mean, it's a great phrase.
Uh-huh.
But I think a lot of people might have different perspectives on compassion and what that looks like. What's that look like to you?
Well, the one thing I could say several, but what I'm trying to focus in on is to help the homelessness.
Okay.
Now, we know in Seattle and Portland, sure, and all those areas, yeah, it's huge.
It's a big deal.
But when we, yeah, look maybe at the percentages, mm-hmm, if we would look at the percentages there and the percentages here, that we have more of a problem than I think we are aware of.
I would agree with that.
Just with Helping Hands, Healing Hearts, I've done our stats, our total stats, three different times, and every time it comes up with 14% of our clients that come through are homeless. And so for a little town, and that's just us. That doesn't include all the other social, right, agencies.
Let's talk about numbers. How many clients are you serving?
Well, it's like the last ones that I did
Now that is good. Interview prep.
She came prepared.
The data.
Oh yeah, yeah. We really keep close stats on, yeah, okay, Helping Hands, Healing Hearts.
That's great.
And so for our 2.5 years, we've had 9 couples, 28 families, 54 singles that come through homeless.
Okay.
Well, that when you put them all together and count all of them, it's 164. Well, 111 are those are adults. And 53 of those are children.
Wow.
That, you know, homeless.
And it's not they may not be permanently homeless.
Right.
But
no.
They're in that space.
They're in that
space.
I
don't have to place,
right,
a place to live today.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I am really very motivated, adamant about getting some sort of transitional living center,
right, yeah,
in Sandpoint. Yeah. Yeah. I have a place in mind that I would like to approach the owners,
yeah,
of that place.
Well, let's talk about that in just a minute. I want to go back to this concept of compassion.
Yes.
Because when we look at the passions and the things that we want to see happen, when you talk about being the most compassionate small town in America, is there like a list of descriptors or trademarks or benchmarks that you would use to describe what a compassionate small town looks like? Like, is there some specific things? Obviously, is it that we're just dealing with making sure nobody's homeless? Is it making sure all the needs are met, that everybody's fed every week? I mean, is it,
yeah,
that kind of stuff?
Yes, make sure that they're fed. Of course, at Helping Hands, we do clothing, food, shoes, linens, housewares, furnitures. But we also do help. We go together with St. Joseph's and Salvation Army and Assembly, uh-huh, God, help with rent and utilities. Uh-huh. And then we also do phone cards and gas vouchers. So, see, we have a lot of people that are on disability.
Yeah, we do.
A lot
we
of
do.
People.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
if they have a car repair or if they have a broken bone or, you know, just you can name any, mm-hmm, number of things, that really throws them for a loop.
Correct, yeah.
And so, yeah, they need help. And they need help without judgment.
That's good.
That's one thing that I think... Well, we had some testimonial clients that we videotaped, and they said, we can come here and get food and get help, no questions asked. And a lot of people have said when they come through the door that they feel love. So I would think no judgment. I would think, uh-huh, care, understanding, love, no matter what their status, economic, social status, yeah, is, you know, we just welcome them with open arms. We pray with them. We cry with them, you know, when they come through.
Uh-huh.
They just, the Helping Hands and Healing Hearts is a place where they feel loved. And I would like that just spreads, that Sandpoint is a place where people feel loved and cared for without,
that's awesome,
judgment.
Yep,
so
that's,
I guess,
really good,
those would be the things that I would identify as making Sandpoint the most compassionate small town.
On that note, I would like to interject,
yeah, yeah,
something here. And that is, most everything she's talked about is material things.
Oh, right, exactly.
And Helping Hands, Healing, mm-hmm, Hearts, the compassion part really is the heart,
right,
of the issue.
Uh-huh.
The Helping Hands part is the material things, but she said, someone says, no questions asked. Well, we do ask a lot of questions,
uh-huh,
because we want to get to the heart of the issue.
Correct, yeah.
And,
yeah,
just helping with those material things are temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the heart of the issue and getting to some of the deeper issues,
mm-hmm,
that people,
right,
are dealing with and why they're in the situation they're,
right,
in is what we really want to get to, and that to me, if we don't, that's not compassion.
Right.
To take care of those temporary things is good, but...
Yes.
And it's the example of Jesus. He used material things to get to the heart of the issue, mm-hmm. and that was the whole approach, and so we're just following that pattern.
Right, like, I don't know, feeding 5,000 people, right. you know, I mean, little things like that.
And then saying, I am the bread of life.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's and this helping bigger them. Thing. Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. That's great.
We are definitely faith-based, Christ-centered, and it's there's 19 churches involved in all that Helping Hands Healing Hearts does.
Yeah, and I know that we transitioned, you know, as we're heading into this new year, you know, transition to support you guys more as well. So
very thankful for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you guys do such a wonderful job.
Plus, there are a lot of individual donors as well.
Okay.
And if I can just emphasize something else while I'm thinking about it, before I forget it, the partnership, the unity that is a part of Helping Hands, Healing Hearts is really key to us because Jesus said, if the world sees the church as one, they will believe.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do this on our own. It is a joint ministry of 20 churches,
right.
a lot of individuals. We have volunteers from a whole slew of different churches.
Wonderful volunteers.
And that unity is something that we in the Church of God really stress because of what Jesus said.
Yeah.
And so
that
really is a source of joy for us.
That, well, so I want to dive in a little bit into the production side of Helping Hands, Healing Hearts. But before we do that, tell me the history. How did you even... get involved with this? Because in the past it was Love Inc. Now tell us the story from when it was Love Inc. Because you guys got involved prior to becoming Helping Hands Healing Hearts with the space that where it's located. So tell us a little bit about the backstory behind that.
Well, we were part of the beginning of Love Inc. Lynette Haugen, that was the director of that and founder director for 12 years, I believe. She approached the pastors and, you know, was just wanting to get support and working through the churches and that, and we jumped on board, felt that would be really helpful because every church was having people come from time to time with needs and seeing maybe a little overlap there that we could be more efficient in meeting the needs and that. And so we were a supporter from the beginning, and some of our church members were on the board and that sort of thing. But Love Inc. did move around quite a bit, different locations.
It did. I remember when it was at Cedar Hills for a little bit, and
When they ended up in the back of our building after a preschool we had in there for many years closed, and then the space was available, so they came in, remodeled, and so they were in...
Good old John LaPointe.
Yeah, John LaPointe's one of them.
Shout out, John.
A lot of good men like that.
Yep.
But they were in there for about 3 years until when they finally closed, and so we were kind of left with the what they had left.
Right. So you're kind of left with more than everything, right?
Everything. Like
all the supplies, the computers, the whole nine yards. I mean, you guys had clothes in
all
there.
Fell in our lap.
You know, like you had everything. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so our church council had to make a decision what to do, and God had already placed it in the hearts of some of them that they wanted the church to be more directly involved in some of the things in the community. And so we said, well, this is it. And but we did feel like it needed to restart, resurface under a different name just because of the way that Love Inc. had closed. And so I went on a listening tour, and you were included in that for about 3 months, talking to different pastors and agency leaders in the community, and we came down with the name Helping Hands, Healing Hearts that would really kind of identify how we wanted to go forward. And so that took about half a year. We reopened then in May of... 2.5 years ago.
May 9th, 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's kind of how that happened.
And when you did your listening, right? And you're listening to the different pastors, organizations, and you're just gathering data, right? Information about, you know, what's the need and, you know, how can we be effective if we take this on and all that, you know, kind of questions. What were some things that kind of stood out to you in that process of discovery that kind of stuck with you?
Well, it was interesting because there was a wide range of opinions and had to kind of sift through that. We'd have someone way over here on this extreme like you say, just give it away, bless, just be blessing, blessing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And others over here on this side that would want to be a little more stringent and, you know.
Really put some limitations on
it. So putting all of it together was kind of the tricky part. But I think we're still working in that process. Things have developed and grown quite a bit since we first opened. And so, again, really finding the balance or how to best get to the heart of the issue, the need that the person has, you know, is our focus. And needs vary greatly, but really it comes down to where that person's heart is and what it's attached to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how they're trying to find those needs met.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like the opportunity to point them to the good news of the gospel and if they'll trust in the Lord, that he will direct their paths and he will help them in all these other issues they're dealing with. And we got a lot of that kind of reaffirming input as we went through that interview, the listening tour.
That's I wanted to interject that I volunteered at Love Inc. for a couple years and also Life Choices Pregnancy Center for a couple years before we did this. And what I learned at Life Choices Pregnancy Center about their intake process and their data entry and all of that kind of thing, I took all of that and I did that in Helping Hands. So our intake process and our keeping data and stuff is so much like Life Choices Pregnancy Center. And I say I'm their missionary because they sent me out. Because what I learned at the Life Choices, really I put into practice their Helping Hands, Healing Hearts. So I thank Life Choices Pregnancy Center, and I feel like, and I've always said I'm their missionary.
That's good. That's really good. That's really good. You know, there's so many amazing organizations that are here.
Yes, wonderful,
And I think that, you know, since just the city of Sandpoint has close to the 200 nonprofits,
I didn't know that many.
I think that when we look at how compassionate this town is, I think you might be onto something. I think you might be onto something. You know, when we talk about any major issue, whether it's kids getting lunches or, you know, Kinderhaven, you can go down the line of nonprofits that are here to help all fill the gaps. You know, it's really exciting. Okay, so you guys open your doors in May of 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you open your doors, what's the process like to get the word out? Obviously, hey, we're here, we're open, we're moving again. And was it just a sudden rush of people or was it kind of a slow
roll? No, we didn't have to get the process. We didn't, that's the thing. This has totally mostly been word of mouth, you know. Once we opened, I mean, of course, the churches knew and social agency knew, and it just started getting out. We haven't ever had to advertise. And some days we're overwhelmed with people, and then other days maybe we'll only have one person come in. But, you know, so if you put all of our, we've got 690 client accounts. A client account might be a single, might be a couple, might be a family, but that serves, it's like 1,300 people, and we've had like 2,500 visits over the last 2.5 years. We're open 3 afternoons a week. We're open from 1:30 to 6 on Tuesdays because there isn't a place open in the evenings where people can come for food that maybe they work and they're just really in need, you know, need okay. a little bit. So that's why we're open until 6
so
on Tuesdays.
So you serve a dinner or something?
No,
or
we have...
Oh, you just get boxed
We have a food,
food.
Pantry. Okay, food yeah, we have food okay. pantry. All and right, then we're open 1:30 okay. to 4:30 yeah, on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I'm like, I didn't know you guys served dinner.
No, right, we don't. Good. We yeah. don't. But yeah. but no, we have a food pantry. Okay. That yeah. So like the food bank closes at 4, but, you know, maybe somebody works till 5 and they can't really get there. And so that's why we're open late one night a week to
back,
help with that.
Yeah, right. Back to that word of mouth.
Right.
Man.
I mean, we did as much advertising as we could just to get
right.
the word out. But yeah. there is a strong network in the community of people who are in need. And, of course, there are community meals available mm-hmm. every day of the week
yep.
somewhere.
Yep.
And that's information we share. But that community... you know, shares information
yeah,
about
sure does, yep.
where to get
yep.
Help and all of that.
Yep.
And one of those meals on Tuesdays, our big day, is presently the Agape Cafe, it's called, is at our church.
Okay.
While the Seventh-day Adventist Church is being remodeled, they'll take
okay.
that back when
okay.
they get done.
Yeah, I'm like, I thought that was I'm like, that's
it's
a Seventh-day
Adventist
Adventist
thing,
church,
but
no,
they,
that's
just
great.
Using, and the teen center also has... come into our facility now on afternoons, Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
So the building
wow.
is well used.
Hey, and you know, let me just say, when you did the 24/7 prayer, that was in 2015? 13?
I think 13. I believe
so,
13.
No, it couldn't have been in 13.
Couldn't
no,
have been?
I think it was 15.
Yeah,
no,
15. 13 was my 13 and 14
was
were my bad years.
That. It was
so.
Oh, it
would
have been 12.
I 12. It was in 12.
Oh my
I had
goodness.
In 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? That was that.
Okay. Woo-hoo.
Okay. So,
well, anyway,
so when you did that,
then.
And I think you and I had a conversation at one of the retreats about your building.
Uh huh.
Right, and I just could not imagine your building not being full and used all the time.
It is now.
And, you know, amazing location, and you guys, your hearts are so open and compassionate to serve people. I'm like, you got a great space. So that thing should be running 24/7, having something happening. So it's cool to see all these different things happening in there. That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Well, and just one other element of that is that the house we live in is the church parsonage. And since my mom passed and went on, there are two rooms available there for housing, which have been full since she passed. We've had 45 different people through the house.
That's amazing.
And quite a few others in the church.
Wow.
Temporarily just
living. And in our garage also.
In the garage. But anyway, Chris, I really want to say something personal here, if
sure,
I may.
Yeah.
Because part of our call to come to Sandpoint was because... my mom and dad had been here for 25 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't a place that I ever wanted to move mm-hmm. to. When we were in Kalispell and come over and visit, I'd say, I'd never want to live in Sandpoint. But when Dad passed, Mom specifically asked us, we had just come back from Cyprus, mm-hmm. to come to be there, be here, and to help. And to honor Dad and his ministry and Mom, those 25 years they'd been here, was, to be honest, the primary reason. And I just felt like that was God's will, mm-hmm. and he would honor it. And the way things have developed and where we've come to with Helping Hands and these other things, the church being full and busy all the time, was really Mom and Dad's heart.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen in their ministry.
Come on.
I mean, Dad was very
That's
involved
cool.
in the community, but
That's
not in
cool.
this way. And I grew up in that spirit. Our house was always full.
Right.
Little, you know, in Eureka, Montana, small place, but it was always, we always had people in need.
Yeah,
in.
You had somebody modeling.
And
that.
So
amazing.
That was the way I grew up, and that was Mom and Dad's heart. And to me, this is kind of fulfillment of that. You asked the question early on about for such a time as this.
Yeah.
And our theme for the church this year has been fulfilling the foreseen in 2019. And to me, this is fulfillment of something God had foreseen a long time ago.
Right. And that,
do the foreseen, but we're part of the fulfillment.
Well, God, I think just on a spiritual note, God gives us insight into what he sees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And mm-hmm. we catch the whiff mm-hmm. of what yeah. God's already got cooked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? What right. he's already playing with. We kind of get, am I going to go that direction? You know, so right. that's awesome. That's yeah. awesome. Well, that's beautiful to hear, and what a great legacy to carry on. Because I know that has been a huge part of your, you know, driver.
Yeah.
Has been to really honor your dad and what he sowed in this community. And essentially, you're getting to harvest.
Yeah.
Which is a that's fun, biblical fun too. Thing. That, yeah, yeah. So, but that's great. That's awesome. So, so let's jump over to this housing issue. We're always grateful to our sponsors here at the Barnard Community Housing Agency. Being nonprofit developers, we work across the board from transitional supportive housing mm-hmm. to rentals to homeownership. And since we cover kind of this last year, we ended up adding the rentals and the supportive housing for us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've expanded our scope quite a bit in what we see. And of course I served on the board and helped with, Freedom House in working with the addiction recovery program there with Fred and mm-hmm. the people involved there. And so this housing issue is big.
Yes. Yeah.
And there is a lot of things mm-hmm. that need to get done that maybe should get done.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are a lot of challenges.
Oh my.
In order to see some of these needs yeah. met. So, Kathy, you've had something in your heart that
yeah, that I really, really have a dream for a transitional center because uh-huh. it's really great for, Blue Haven and uh-huh. Sweet Magnolia and yours. Mm-hmm. But those are all where you need to pay to be a part.
Correct, yeah.
And that's good. I mean, that's yep. good. But there's a gap where people have 2 weeks or 30 days or whatever, where they don't have any way to pay and they don't have anywhere to stay and, that wow. sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And so my dream is to have a transitional center, TLC, notice, Tender Loving Care Center, transitional center, a living center, and where we would have maybe like six little studio apartments, just maybe like 180 square feet, and then a day center with showers and washer and dryer, and then maybe like 10 more of these little studio apartments. So the six would be for the free, uh-huh. where people would come in, be 30 days. And we would, and we don't want to just house. We want to have programs go along with that. There's a program in Vancouver, Washington that I want to pattern after called Safe Homes. And then these others would be where people, once they get a little more on their feet, that maybe they could pay $350 a month.
Sure, yeah.
And so yeah. that yeah. it would be like a transitional living center, uh-huh. then an intermediate center. And then because when, a lot of these people fit in the low-income housing range, but those waiting lists are a year.
Crazy.
Like at Milltown yeah. and Ponderosa, Mount yeah. Baldy, and then Idaho Housing is at least a year waiting.
Yep.
So my dream is to have these apartments, little ones, and they're little, but anyhow, and then I have a dream of a place in town so that they're close to the bus route and all that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Have that,
and then
access.
Also have a day yep. center, and then these 10 other studio apartments that people would pay for uh-huh. could fund this other, the six and the day center. So, there's so much to be worked out with it, but anyhow, it's a dream, and that's where I got to take this dream and start. I've informally submitted it to the city planning and development. So they're kind of looking it over and looking over the place. I haven't asked the people of the place yet because we've had so many hurdles with the city of things that we wanted to do that I kind of want to get through those hurdles first.
Yeah.
To see if this is even this
is feasible.
Going to work.
Is it feasible?
So,
yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, but great. That's a dream that I have, and I know I met with Rhonda of Priest River Ministries,
Stamus, yes,
and Christine of Life Choices yesterday, uh-huh. and we talked about all of this and all the hurdles and all the challenges, not just getting it built, but after it's open, all the challenges with the people and those sort of things. But, you know, when I spoke at the SPIN meeting about the homelessness, you know, I said, just because it's difficult and just because it's risky, does that get us off the hook that we can't do it?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, and I love that attitude, right? Because, you know, only great things happen because of risk, mm-hmm. right? Great things don't happen if you don't take risks.
Right,
right. Yeah. I don't care who you are, what you do. You know, right. Every amazing business innovation came because somebody ignored the advice of somebody, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, there's too many obstacles. Or why would you... You know, I love the analogy of if somebody told the Wright brothers, just stick to making bicycles, we wouldn't have airplanes,
yeah.
right? So, you know, it's just one of those, like,
yeah.
sometimes it's good to take that that level of, like, actually, there's something here, and we need to take some risk.
Yeah.
So that's great.
It you know, it's got to be God that fulfills it all, because when I sit and think about it and whatever, it's way too big, but he's a big God and it's a big need, and so he'll fill it.
So you're in the process with the city to see, hey, is this something that is doable? And I wonder... of course, I think it's great that you're using other models to kind of model after. What's your thoughts? What have you been looking at for funding?
Well, that's a big issue, because we want to be able to, I guess you would call it requirement, but I want to model after Safe Homes in Vancouver, Washington. And they do require people to go through certain classes, certain encouragements, you know, and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. it is very faith-based. So, so if I would get state funding and some of those sort of things, I wouldn't be able to have those requirements.
Correct.
I mean, if they asked, I could offer, and if they asked, whatever. But you know, Helping Hands, Healing Hearts, that's one thing that has maybe been, if we have any kind of disappointment, we have these classes available and we offer them every time they come in, but very few take advantage of them.
Sure, yeah.
And so, I don't know.
We all think we know it all. It's
yeah, thing. Right. Yeah. And but people are where they are because... They really aren't challenged to move on, and a lot of times they don't know how, and also change is very, very, very difficult, and so they have to have, I mean, like, for example, I work with Sweet Magnolia, and, mm-hmm. you know, I teach classes there, and I'm familiar with drug court. I mean, when you go through drug court, you have requirements, and going through those requirements, I think, is what helps bring about the change in the person. And so I would like to have requirements. And so if we want state funding or like from HUD and all those, we can't have those requirements.
Yeah.
So that makes funding a big challenge.
Yeah.
So so we're working through that process.
Okay. One of the things that, you know, I'm always looking at is, what's the thing that nobody's seeing? Like, what's the thing that nobody's taken the time to notice or look at yet in some of these processes? Because I think often we move things into binary, just there's either this or that.
Yeah.
And I think for every situation, there's way more options than our eyes can see to get things paid for and to get things done. And I don't know if I'll ever find those other options, but I know that they're out there.
I would like to find them.
Right. So I think that, you know, I think it's probably one of those things where funding-wise, people, as you know, in whether any nonprofit work that you do, people will donate towards a vision, right? They'll mm-hmm. donate towards the impact of something more than mm-hmm. a gadget or a gadget or a whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to really put their funds behind what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that you have been doing a phenomenal job of saying, here's the need and here's the vision and here's where that is, because funding will follow the vision that people's hearts resonate with. Mm-hmm. So I just think that you're doing a great job with that. So,
yeah, well,
so keep it up.
We're trying.
Bottom line for us, Chris, in our own personal lives,
yeah.
throughout our history of pastoring, missionary work, the funding always came.
Yeah.
Sometimes yep. without us even asking for it. If it was God's will,
yeah.
He provided the funds.
Yep.
We've been surprised so many times,
yeah, sure.
and just huge, enormous gifts sometimes.
Wow.
And so we know that, you know, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and
yeah,
blah,
yeah. Yep,
on,
yep.
and on.
On and on.
And if it's His will, He's going to show us how, and
right.
He'll provide the funds. Mm-hmm. So,
what are you guys seeing right now at Helping Hands, Healing Hearts? What are your needs? What are you guys finding, you know, being kind of obstacles, challenges, and needs right now with the organization?
Well, you know, the community has been really wonderful once they got wind of us that, you know, bringing clothes, and we could maybe use a little more, we could use a little more housewares, and then we can always use food.
Okay.
You know, if you go on our website, I forget which tab it's on. That's terrible. But anyhow, you can click and get our food list.
Uh-huh.
We have a wonderful food pantry volunteer guy that kind of oversees it, Mike Williams. And when people come in for food, and he's trained the other volunteers to do this, they don't just say, well, I'd like that. He says, what do you eat for breakfast? So then he goes through breakfast. What do you eat for lunch? And then he goes through lunch and then does the same thing for supper. And so when they leave, they don't just have this, and this. They have meals that they can go home mm-hmm. and I know this is what I'm going to have.
Super,
and so
super
we've
good.
Got
yeah.
a food list that he likes to use mm-hmm. to help people make meals.
That's
and
great.
And so, yeah,
good.
That's what we do.
Good. So needs, challenges, you feel like things are kind of going okay.
It is. It
Everything is
going
very
really
well. It's
yeah.
just the homeless
okay.
question that's really...
So no, heading into the holidays, heading into Thanksgiving and Christmas, what do you see kind of being the big needs in this season right now?
You know what is really wonderful? I think it might be a small group from Cedar Hills, I think. They decided that they wanted to help people with Thanksgiving dinners. And so they called and asked, and so I gave them... 9 of our families
wow.
that they are providing pre-cooked, delivered Thanksgiving meals. And these are fairly nice meals because I said, well, I would help donate for one of them. Then when I found out the money, I had to back off a little bit because I couldn't give that amount. I mean, I gave part of it, but they're very nice meals. I go, man, maybe maybe we'll be one of the families. No,
yeah,
not really.
Yeah,
not really.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so I went through the families that had like the most dependents and that didn't get food stamps, or maybe if they did, they got very little or not enough to cover the families. And so
sure.
they are helping with those families and
so
they
great.
Might do with Christmas. And then we have some extra food money, and Mike and Beth Ann made these little kind of like Thanksgiving meal bags where, you know, it's got some meal and then they put a chicken in and stuff. So
oh,
those
great.
Are
That's
the
awesome.
Things. And I think that group said they might do it again for Christmas, the meals for Christmas.
Okay.
But and then we have two, then Christ our Redeemer usually ask for a family each year. And so actually two families, they are providing Christmas gifts for those families. Wow. And I chose two single moms that had been laid off or lost their job for various reasons and are trying to even just pay their rent. So Christ Redeemer is going to help get gifts great. For those cool. little, cool. The, for the, those families.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, good. That's the way the church community comes and helps with that. So
awesome. Awesome. That's great. So seems like things are moving along. You guys have a lot of activities happening. When you think about this next year, obviously a big focus on the housing stuff. But what's the best way for people to support Helping Hands, Healing Hearts? Like, what are some things that the general public who maybe are being introduced to you for the first time, you know, what are some asks that you would have? Like, hey, here's how you can get involved or how you can help.
Well, we believe it or not, we are pretty well staffed with volunteers.
Okay.
We have a wonderful group of volunteers, and we're pretty well staffed with that. We have churches that do food drives every month.
Yep.
We can always use more food. And as I said, we can use kitchen housewares type things. We can always use money, donations.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, we can always use monetary donations, too.
Yep.
And, you know, if they want to specify it for the housing project, or if they want a general fund, or if they want to specify it for food, some people will give money. And then we have a food account that when we're short of different things, we can just go and get them, you know. And so,
And I'm going to sound like a missionary here. Because missionaries depend on donations and that sort of thing, too. But they say the most important thing, and we do mean this, is prayer. For people who don't feel like they have anything they can give, prayers always
are the main thing. Project.
And God works. God works through prayer.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap up our time today, it's been a fun conversation. Do you have any you know, final thoughts, you know, for the community when we talk about becoming more compassionate, you know, being known as not just the most beautiful, but the most compassionate small town in America? What encouragements do you have for people who want to just start becoming more compassionate, more involved in some of these things? What, how would you encourage them?
Well, I got to jump in on this, sorry, because I, you know, I think it's Isaiah 58:7 or 57:8. But, you know, when you go through that chapter, that chapter talks about what God honors is fasting.
Yeah,
it's not just, you know, going without food. But one of those, but it just talks about, you know, taking care of the poor. And one of the scriptures that I really focus in on is providing the poor wanderer with shelter. And then also in Matthew 25, when Jesus divides the sheep and goats, and of course the sheep said, you know, when did we visit you? When did we, when you were sick or when you were in prison, when did we provide clothes? When did we take in the stranger? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And then, of course, in James, it says, pure religion or true religion is when you take care of the widow and orphan. So I would just say that those are really mandates that we have from God through scripture and through Jesus Christ, that, you know, if you are doing it for the least of these, you are doing it for me. And so that's pretty much our those some of those scriptures are our vision, our mandate scriptures for Helping Hands that we follow. And I think it should be for every Christian, you know, to follow those. And then do all these things with love. We cover everything with love.
And so, well, and one of the things that I'll say that I'm seeing more and more is that people who aren't followers of Christ are very compassionate and they love to give. So there's no monopoly on compassion.
And
I do think that seeing the entire culture of the region become more and more compassionate means more and more openness with us linking arms as far as Christians linking arms with non-believers and people who have a passion to see needs met. Like, let's do it together.
Yeah.
We're still fulfilling a mandate together.
Yes, that's...
You know, it doesn't...
Yes, I really want to do it together.
Yeah. Well, and that's something that's meant to emphasize when I was talking about the unity and the partnership, not just with the churches, but we do work hand in hand with a lot of the different social agencies.
Yeah, we do.
It's not necessarily Christian, but it's the same goal that we're working toward.
That's awesome.
So,
good. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming today.
Thank you.
We'll have all your contact information, looked up all your social media stuff. We'll get all that in the show notes.
Okay.
So when it comes out on Facebook, you'll get tagged on there so that you can share it out and put it on your pages.
You're not
going to
publicize my background check, are you?
Oh, no.
Please don't do that.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Thanks. You know. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to get canceled.
Okay.
As a show.
Thank
okay.
you, Chris.
All right.
Thank
well,
you.
We appreciate you guys. Thanks
thank
for coming
for
on. We bless you and just really appreciate all you're doing in the community.
Thank you.
All right.
You
thanks.
Too.
All right. Thank you.